Now, welcome to the house of Henry. It's good to see you again. It's good to be with you. I love you all with all my heart. We have two types of people that come here. One type is bhaktas, devotional people. The other type is aspiring jnanis. They're both very different. The bhaktas are usually the devotees. The aspiring jnanis are trying to get out of their mind in unusual ways. As an example, we had a bunch of people come here from Santa Cruz. And they came about 8 times. So the information I received yesterday is that they all became yanis. So I received a letter also to confirm this from Richard Pell. Remember him?
Yes.
Would you like to read the letter?
Yes.
I get a lot of letters. I share this with you. Because it's interesting.
He says, "Dear Robert, long time we haven't connected. I'm visiting my mother and I haven't been disturbed yet. In parentheses, he's got, I just got word you got another earthquake. Amazing, this consciousness. Well, miracles never cease. Saw Jay a couple weeks ago. I've heard he's claimed to be enlightened, although he didn't tell me that. In Santa Cruz, enlightenment claims are up 10,000%. Jim, Trish, and numerous others have all registered claims. I think if you live long enough, you hear and see everything. What a dream. Well, I trust satsang and all is going well. To me, it boils down to, do I have to give up my sense of humor? If enlightenment means talking all this four-letter word seriously. Well, as the claims mount and the sun set, I bid adieu and must express my gratitude for all your help. Love, Richard Pell. P.S. You can't buy a home in Marin unless you all out the form, all out the form about who your guru is." He means fill out the form, mm-hmm. Who your guru is. Oh.
Mm-hmm. You're the registration forms.
I receive many letters of this type. Actually, what difference does it make?
You should issue certificates of enlightenment.
Yes. I've been told that before.
Sell it.
It's interesting. With some of these people, the first calamity that comes along in their lives, they become hysterical. They go berserk. They can't handle it. And they say they're yanis. Well, this is good, I suppose. It makes life interesting. one of the problems we have with the teaching is that when I say you are not the body, many of us still believe we are spirit in the body. As an example, when someone with a disease or any other problem comes to me and I tell them they're not the body, they believe that their true self is within the body, but they are not that body. Now, this couldn't be further from the truth. There are never two bodies. There is not your physical body, the body with the problems, and then there's another body, which is consciousness, or the self. And the idea is, if you got the term within the self and let go of the first body, in all actuality and in all truth, there is only the one. The body that you identify with does not even exist. When you first start spiritual life, you pray to God. You believe God is separate from you. And this is good for most people. There's nothing wrong with that at all, because at least they're praying to a higher being. If they are sincere, there comes a time when they get the experience that what I have been praying to is within me. As Jesus said, the Father is within me. And we go around believing that our outside body is a body of sin, but the inside, wow, that's something else. That's where God lives. So if I cut that person open, will I find God? But that's also good, because now you are believing that consciousness, God, Brahman, is within you. And that usually goes on for years and years and years. But again, if you are sincere, and at this time you should have the experience of having a teacher or a sage to go to, or you have done other things, or you have gone deep, deep within yourself, the realization comes by itself that there is no body at all. Nobody exists whatsoever. There's no one within. There's no one without. There is only consciousness, absolute reality. And I am is that. In other words, you come to the conclusion there is no body to make well. There is no body with problems. There is no body that is unenlightened and has to become enlightened. There is just no body. And yet, the appearance is very strong. The mind is very strong with some of us. It tells us all sorts of things. It fools us. It plays games with us. It makes us believe something is wrong someplace. Well, it goes to the other extreme. It makes us believe I am enlightened. You know, the very thought that you think you are enlightened shows you that you're not. There would be no one left to claim that. The claimant has been transcended. You just become beingness. You just become yourself. There is no one who has to become themselves, really. That's why words are all fictitious. But to make you understand what I'm talking about, we have to use some words. There is no one to become anything. That one never existed. No one. You can never say, I have become. Because the I is dead if you have become. There's no claim that you can stake. There's no one left to make the claim. You just are. You have become infinity. How do you know when you arrive at the goal? It begins with yourself first. You just have no connection with the body again. The body that never existed to begin with is gone. This is very paradoxical. Nobody exists. You are free from that. And yet, everyone else sees you with a body. And they see you going through experiences like everybody else. But I can assure you that there is nobody. And those words never even come to you that there is nobody. Because those words become ludicrous when you've arrived. You no longer state, I am not the body. I am consciousness. That becomes a joke. All those words, liberation, moksha, illumination, absolute reality, ultimate oneness, nirvana, emptiness, they become a joke. It is only the Ayani that spouts out those words. And of course I do it in the teaching. You become omnipresent, all-pervading. That's what you really are to begin with. I use the word you become. Yet, you no longer feel anything. There is nothing to feel. There is nothing to be. There is nothing to experience. We use words like bliss. Bliss simply means a state beyond the norm that is so joyous compared to the joy that you know. It is beyond that joy. It is too happy to be happy. It is too loving to be loved. It is way beyond those qualities. There are no words that can describe it. So what is all this talking for? Why do you want me to say these things? Because you believe you're human and you want to listen to the word, the good word. The good word is silence. This is why I tell you so often, when I speak, I am really silent. And you sort of have to read between the lines. It's not the words that goes to your heart. It's what you read between the lines, between the words. And what you read between the lines, between the words, is nothing else but yourself. You are that. Therefore, when you are really that, the oneness pervades in your heart. And there's no separation between you and me. There's no separation now. But most of you insist on believing you are the body. You tell me about your pains, your problems, your troubles. Who has these pains? Who has these troubles? See, you're making a mistake if you say the body, because there is no body. Don't you see now the fastest way to remove all these things from your consciousness? Don't blame it on the body. You're giving all the blame to the body now. You used to blame the devil. Now since you got into Yanamarga, you're blaming the body. It's the body's fault. It's not me. I didn't do it, the body made me do it. It's the body that got angry. It's the body that gets sick, gets upset, and so forth. But if you can only keep inside of you someplace that there is no body to do anything, there is no body that you have to make well. So many people tell me who have a sickness or a disease, they say, Robert, while I'm on the path and I still think I'm a body, can I cure the body and make the body well as long as I believe I am the body? That's a mistake. Because you're reinforcing that there is a body to become well. There was never a body that became sick or had a problem of any kind. What do you see with your eyes? What do you feel? What do you see in the world? Most of you still want to pray for the world, to bring peace to the world, to bring harmony to the world, to alleviate man's and humanity's demands. That's very well and good. But you're working with an illusion. For none of these things are really happening. They appear to be happening. That's a false appearance. Of course, you should not ignore a situation when it comes in your vibration. If someone is in your vibration and they are in need of anything, there is nothing to think about. The mistake you make is when you think you're helping. That inflates your ego. And you think you're doing somebody a good turn by helping. This is what it means when it says in the Bible, to agree quickly with thy adversary. It means that you should help immediately, without thought. I am not helping you, and you are not helping me. There's only one and what you think about the one and what you do to the one is none other than yourself. Therefore, you do not think, I am a good person. I help the homeless. You just do it if that's what you're going to do. Many times I go downtown to the shelter. With Dennis Weaver and a few other people, and help serve food. I usually don't tell anybody about this. I don't think about this. I'm not doing a good deed. I'm I'm just doing because it's happening. And yet in reality there's no one doing anything. You have to get rid of the notion, I am the doer. And if you have to think, should I or shouldn't I, forget it. Do nothing. It's very paradoxical. But a true Yani, an enlightened sage, has a great compassion, a great love. A universal love. A universal compassion. Many people still believe that to be a Yani means you're not supposed to care about anything. Just by having that opinion and having that belief shows you you've got a long way to go. There are no thoughts. There's no idea of doing anything. You just do it. If you're meant to do it. But you don't think about it. Your body, what you call your body, that doesn't exist, will appear to do whatever it has to do. It has nothing to do with you. Some people believe it's virtuous to worry about others. Worrying about others comes from the ego. But doing for others and helping others without thinking, that comes from the self. So a real Yani does not sit in a cave and meditate all day, but appears to be active in the world sometimes. But there are no thoughts. There is no attachment. There is no sense of doership. Yet there is pure love. Love that the average person can never understand. Think about yourself for a moment. What do you really think you are? Now don't think what you'd like to be. What do you think you are right now? And you have to be honest with yourself. Honesty is very important. Think of what you are right now. What do you think you are? That thought of yourself has to become transcendent. It has to be transcendent. The thought has to be stopped. For whether you think you're good or bad or in between, it's a thought. And as long as it's a thought, it will lead to other thoughts. And they will lead to other thoughts. And pretty soon you have a whole bag full of thoughts to get rid of. Therefore, when you think about yourself, catch yourself. Ask yourself, who thinks? Who thinks? No matter what it's about, it makes no difference how beautiful your thoughts are. You still have to question yourself, who thinks? There is no beauty, there is no chaos, they are both impostors. Yet, there is a there is a joy, there is a bliss that cannot be explained. That joy and that bliss is the nature of the universe. It has nothing to do with the universe. It has nothing to do with God or the world. God, the world, comes from your own imagination. Consciousness, absolute reality, comes from your own imagination. For remember, there is no one to experience absolute reality. You cannot say, I think I am experiencing absolute reality, or I think I am experiencing consciousness. That's laughable. There's no one to experience that. For when you awaken to that, you have awakened to spontaneity. You have awakened to the moment where there is no past and no future. There is just that wonderful bliss. What can ever happen to that wonderful bliss? Can anyone change it? Can anyone take it away? Can anyone destroy it? There is no one to do those things. For there is not bliss and something else. There is only the bliss, for want of a better word. That is. And as you awaken to that, your body disintegrates, so to speak. It doesn't really disintegrate because it never existed to begin with. You simply awaken to yourself. And this is something to be experienced. You learn to leave the world alone. Yet this sounds like a contradiction. because before I said, you automatically help, and you have an attitude of loving kindness. Now I say you leave the world alone. It's not really a contradiction, because by leaving the world alone, you automatically become an asset to others. How can that be? As your consciousness expands, you become all-pervading. It's like as if you were a light in a room of darkness. And the light shows the way. The darkness turns into light. It's as if you were one of those dimmer switches. The light turns on and on and on and on until the whole room is full of light. That's how it is when your consciousness expands. Without thoughts, without emotions, without feelings, you become the light of the world, so to speak. And anyone in your presence receives the grace and benefits of that self, which you are. So to the question of what is the fastest way to awaken? The answer is always be in the company of a sage at satsang or otherwise, and have no thoughts about it. Do not think what is happening, but open your heart. And you will feel the grace that exists there. Even when I say you have to work on yourself is a misnomer. For there is no self or body to work on. This is just an answer to give to a question like that, if people ask. How can you work on something that doesn't exist? Therefore I say, just be yourself. So if the person is a bank robber, they believe I said they have to be a better bank robber. And they have to be themselves, so they go and rob more banks. But if you live in the spontaneity I'm talking about, if you live in the moment, yourself is the pure self, the unadulterated self. The self which is divine love, peace, happiness. The best way to do this, again, is to be in the company of a sage and give up all desire. Give up all the desire of wanting to attain. There is nothing to attain. There is nothing to do. There are no disciplines you have to follow. Even self-inquiry is only to keep your mind still. Everything is to quiet your mind. When the mind is quiet, things begin to happen. It's not a question of agreeing with what I say or disagreeing with what I say. It makes no difference. Simply be yourself. Just the way you are. When I say just the way you are, I don't mean how you were 5 minutes ago or a minute ago. Just the way you are implies your true nature right this moment, in this second. In this second you are free. See what you're doing now? You're thinking. That's quality. Learn to stay without thought. Even for a few seconds. It's hard, isn't it? This is the reason you have to ask yourself, to whom do these thoughts come? It's only a modality to cause you to stop thinking. Some of you are beginning to feel what I'm talking about. No thoughts. Nothing to remember. Nothing to do. When thoughts come to you about your affairs, about your predicament, realize that you have surrendered your affairs and your predicament to the self. And all is well. In other words, there should be no situation that appears strong enough to set you off feeling miserable or feeling too happy. No thing should have that power. It's called the thoughtless state. It's really not that hard. let go. Close your eyes, it will help. If you have to do something, observe your breath. But if you can't, forget about your breath. After all, to whom does the breath come? To the body. Since there is no body, there is no breath. Then what is? I am. What is I am? Silence. Open your heart. Let go. There is no past, no future. Nothing can ever harm you. You exist in eternity. Be still. The breath does not exist any longer. There never was a body. There is only that. Silence. It is wonderful to rest in nothingness. Where there is no time, no space. Well, do we have any questions?
More transcriptions, and we also have the list of the numbers of the transcriptions. So those of you who have transcriptions at home but no numbers on them, you can take one of the pages and find out what number they are. So if any difference.
Feel free to ask anything.
Robert, how about a statement instead of just ask myself questions, I can't say, I am he, I am consciousness, I am bliss, I am awareness. Just that over and over rather than following the I thought.
Why don't you take a deep breath and do nothing? For it appears when you say all these things, you're still identifying with your body. So but try to do nothing at all.
Yeah, but the thoughts keep coming. That's the reason I say that.
Surrender them.
What?
Surrender them to your heart. To God.
I didn't understand what you meant by that.
Say something like, take this, God. Every time you have a thought, a feeling, an emotion, give it to God. Until you become empty. Try that.
Non-dual teachings, like the Dzogchen teaching, they don't concentrate on getting rid of thoughts. They just stay with the present, and they forget about the thoughts. They just tell people to stay in presence, maintain the presence, and let thoughts come and go, and don't get involved with them. Don't even worry about getting rid of thoughts. Just come to rest in the presence, not consciousness.
Well, that's like Vipassana meditation. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that.
I was reading something in Ramana. He usually talks about getting rid of thoughts, but in one passage he said just stay in the presence and just forget about thoughts. Just let them come and go. Don't even fool with them.
Use whatever method you have to use to still your mind.
Well, yes, what do you mean stay in the presence?
Stay in consciousness. Just
still on
just stay where you are and let your thoughts come and go.
Oh.
Use whatever method you have to use.
Mm-hmm.
Do whatever you have to do, but the object is to still the mind. When the mind becomes quiet, everything happens by itself. All these various methods that different teachers tell you, Zen teachers, Buddhist teachers, even in mystical Christianity, is in order to make your mind quiet. Feel how quiet you are now. It doesn't matter if thoughts come or not. Just be quiet. In other words, do not acknowledge the thoughts by feeling them. Whatever you do not acknowledge has to leave you sooner or later. Therefore, when your feelings are no longer on your thoughts, and your thoughts will dissipate.
When I'm really resting in consciousness, I notice a feeling of presence in the whole center of the chest area that never happened before. And it's like being vacated from up here, and a fullness in here, and then like a subtle love feeling.
What you're actually feeling is the inner guru pulling your mind into the heart. That's the feeling you have. Let it happen.
Someone who wants to relay a question to him.
Mm.
He says, what is your viewpoint?
Where is he?
Somewhere.
Oh.
He says, what is your viewpoint? I think what he means is, what is your response or understanding of the occurrence of saints' body converting into light and not leaving a corpse behind? In anyone's view.
Mm.
Anyone's view. And then, as compared to saints appearing to leave a corpse behind.
All of these things are possible. Usually people who practice siddhis through pranayama are able to disintegrate their bodies so no corpse is found. This still comes from the mind. But it doesn't make any difference. Since a yani is not a body to begin with, therefore he doesn't have to deal with the corpse. Only if there was really a body would you have to deal with the corpse. But since there is no body, who deals with the corpse? Who has to make the corpse disintegrate if it never existed to begin with?
Someone's got to. Mm-hmm.
There's no corpse for the yoni.
Okay, now another question about this. Some siddhas claim that one must convert the body to light, or rather actualize what the body already is to break reincarnation cycle, or else they'll be re-embodied, or else must be re-embodied.
Same answer. Who has to do these things? There has to be someone to do all of these things, and that's all mental work. A real yoni has nothing to do because there's no existence. Therefore, they never think of those things whatsoever because there are no thoughts.
Then what is the body?
It doesn't exist. There is no body. You should ask, to whom is the body? To the eye. The eye believes in the body. When there is no eye, there is no body. And when there is no body, there's no one to do anything. All doing comes from the mind.
Mm-hmm. This fellow that had this question was asked, is that reincarnation comes from attachment only and nothing else?
Sure. As long as there's somebody to be attached, for that person is reincarnation. But if there's no attachment, that means you're not even attached to your body, because there's no body. Consequently, you are already free. There's no coming or going. Freedom is there already. And there's no one to do anything. Jay's running all this down.
Robert, even modern science tells us that the body is an appearance, because when they look at it with the electronic microscopes, they say it's only atoms, and atoms are only energy, and energy is only light. But even modern science, material science, is now saying that this appearance that appears solid is only light. Mm. That's their conclusion, and that's modern material science. And then, I mean, you're saying it's even beyond light. So even science is showing us that this is an appearance.
Mm.
So we don't even have to believe spiritual teachings. We can just, if you want to believe science, even that's showing that all of this is an illusion.
Sure.
But nobody believes.
That's why you can talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and get nowhere. You just have to make up your mind that you're going to get by yourself and be silent any way you know how until you become free.
What is the place of humor? What is the perspective, the point of view of humor in this perspective of these teachings?
The whole teaching is a big joke. It's all humor.
Yeah. So the material perspective is a doubly big joke.
Sure.
And then we use the single joke to take out the double joke.
Sure.
And then we throw away all of them.
And you throw yourself away.
You throw yourself away.
You throw the earphones away, the tapes.
You mean we'll be recycled? Recycled egos.
I've got an interesting question. For myself, I feel that I'm trying to go. Before you can go to college, you have to go to high school and school and kindergarten.
Why?
And then, in order to, I'm talking about everyday living. And I feel that I'm trying to get to a place that cannot be gotten because the mind is in the way, and I know it's in the way, but to me it would seem like it'd be a way of chipping away at the mind, because I just feel stuck in it, and no matter what I do, the mind seems to have more power in itself because am I trying to get rid of it all at once? That's my understanding of you, the mind doesn't exist, which I agree, but how can you get rid of something that one that I still feel is still there, unless maybe a slow erosion process.
What do you think self-inquiry is for?
Well, ask myself, to whom do these thoughts come from? And then I just watch. Of course, nothing happens, so I guess I get discouraged. And
then you say they come to me.
What?
They come to me, you
okay.
Say. I think those thoughts. And then you ask the question, who am I?
Right.
And you do that over and over again until you drop dead.
The ego drops dead.
That way you cleaned it up, Henry.
All right. I like to help Barbara.
But isn't there a process where instead of, like I said, you have to do one of those two before you can do calculus, which I can't do. Do you understand what I'm...
Of course I do.
I know you do.
Self-inquiry is calculus, mathematics, geometry, algebra. And 2 times 2 is 4.
Oh.
It's all those things. Therefore, if you practice self-inquiry, something has to give. As you say, you're chipping away. When you practice self-inquiry, you keep chipping and chipping and chipping, and something will happen. Even though you're having a hard time, Nate, you're way ahead of the game. Keep it up. I think your main problem is you want it to happen like today.
Yeah.
Forget about that. Forget about how old you are and how much time you've got left. Just do it. And let everything take care of itself. Remember, everything is preordained anyway. So what's going to happen to you will happen. Would you like to read the ending there?
Would you like
to
read it?
No, you can read it.
For a jnani who has realized the identity of his inner being with the infinite Brahman, there is no rebirth, no migration, not even liberation, for he is already liberated. He has firmly established in an experience of the absolute existence knowledge, bliss, the Satchitananda Atman. The continued existence of the world and of his own body appears to the jnani only as an illusion, the appearance of which he cannot remove, but which cannot further deceive him, till the time when, after the decease of the body, he wanders not forth, but remains where he is and what he is, and certainly was, the first principle of all beings and things, the original, eternal, pure, free Brahman. While living and even when the body falls dead, the jnani rests in his own essential nature, his own svarupa, that is all full, all pure, timeless consciousness and bliss. The following assertions made by a jnani constitute his own deepest convictions and experience. I am infinite, imperishable, self-luminous, self-existent. I am beginningless, endless, decayless, birthless, deathless. Never was I born. I am ever free, perfect, independent. I alone am. I pervade the entire universe. I am all-permeating and interpenetrating. I am supreme peace and freedom absolute. A jnani lives forever. He has attained life everlasting. Cravings torture him not. Sins stain him not. Birth and death touch him not. He is free from all cravings and longings. He ever rests in his own Satchitananda Svarupa. He sees the one infinite self in all, and all in the infinite self, which is his being. He remains forever as the infinite self of consciousness and delight.
Any other announcements, statements? Karima and Ed's cat died after 16 years, and they're both very upset over this situation. So they're having a funeral today. Therefore, let's have a moment's silence for their cat. Remember to love yourself, to worship yourself, to pray to yourself, to bow to yourself. Because God dwells in you as you. I love you all. Peace. God bless you. Oh, we have some refreshments.
Yes.